Good morning, Melissa.
Good to have you on the program. And here's our question to callers right now. What are your thoughts about the Jameis Winston case and big-time college sports when athletes sometimes behave badly? We want your calls, 549-2937 to join the show. That's 549-2937. Or go to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect and email and tweet the show. So yesterday they held a code of conduct hearing for some of Winston's teammates. He was not present. This story at FSU is still alive, even though Winston is not going to face criminal charges. What are your reactions to this? So when you first learned of this, as someone who works in the university system, what did you think?
This week's Time magazine also features rape as the great crisis in higher education. There are a lot of people who would say there are other crises that higher ed faces, but you know, this is a big issue for not just universities and colleges, but for those who handle professional and big time sports, and I would include the top tier of the NCAA, and of course, in the case of Mr. Winston, we have an athlete who has incredible athletic prowess. I reviewed some of his exploits in terms of being on the baseball field. The guy is an incredible athlete off the football field also, and I think it's a heady kind of thing. We saw from Johnny Manziel and Cam Newton before that these quarterbacks that are given so much attention, given so much, sometimes it does go to their head.
Right. And you see that over and over again with top athletes who seemingly get a pass for poor conduct that other students might not get. Is that an inevitable byproduct of a sports program that brings in so much money and glory? Does it have to be that way?
I don't believe it has to be that way, but part of the issue is the surrounding community, alumni, and those that support the sports program. They want to not only prop up and build up these athletes, but they are put up on a pedestal and a lot of times put in situations where they're able to get a pass. And whether it's in the classroom, whether it's, you know, you want a soda from a Burger King, whether, you know, you want to buy something in, or you want something from a store. And I think sometimes they get a little bit delusional between, you know, what's right and what's wrong.
It is a double-edged sword, though. The flip side of it is college football players are now attempting to unionize, saying that they're taken advantage of, that they're really employees, not students, that they bring in so much money for these schools that they should be paid. It's a complex issue, isn't it?
It is. You're referring to the Northwestern
players.
Yeah, players who have elected, formed a union group together and are talking about not just organizing, but how to go to the university and somehow get some sort of form of payment for their services. And of course, they do have an issue if they're a top player who's injured. It can hurt them in terms of not just a potential NFL career, but you know, it hurt their job prospects. So
now on your campus, Dean Capener, sports is an increasingly important part of campus life. How do you see Jacksonville University dealing with these types of issues?
Well, of course, I'm not the athletic director,
right.
So
you're on the business side.
Yeah, we would address that. But from a business angle, I would say that the we want to have a balance between the focus on the student athlete, but also, you know, we want a great on-field performance and an opportunity to grow the success and let's call it winning percentage of our athletic teams, because as we do that, we're able to recruit better student athletes and we can raise the profile, and it is part of the marketing that JU does to recruit new students.
And let's go to your calls right now. What are your thoughts about Jameis Winston, the federal investigation at Florida State, and big-time sports culture in our nation's universities, 549-2937. Rick in Jacksonville. Hey, Rick, thanks for calling the show. Good morning.
Good morning. A couple things. Number one, I used to travel with the Big Ten team, so I have a pretty good insight. My question is, the reason this is being drawn up so bad because it's an athlete. I'd like for maybe some investigative reporting look of the percentage of regular students who are arrested and charged with shoplifting over the same academic year compared to the percentage of athletes. Athletes are required not only to travel, live out of a travel bag, but maintain their school and have their grade points. And I think we need to compensate them for it. Other countries do it, and all due respect to the administration, they make millions and billions of dollars, and other programs are the beneficiary of a good sports program.
Thanks for the call, Rick. Yeah, and he's referring to this new momentum to pay these players. Thanks for the call, Rick. Here's a tweet from a listener. I realize it's just hearsay, but I heard that particular Publix routinely gave free food to student athletes in the past. People are following this really closely. What about that? What about his comment that, yes, athletes are sometimes given a pass, but they're also under the microscope in a way that other students aren't?
It's a fair comment. Because they are under the microscope, anything that they do is going to be recorded by somebody with a cell phone, or they are not just under a microscope, but everything is being recorded. So does this happen for a normal student? I'd say no. I mean, you know, if a student's first infraction of a shoplifting or this or that, are they going to be called out by the dean of students and put on suspension? I would say in a lot of cases these athletes don't necessarily have it as good as everyone thinks they do. They do live under a microscope.
549-2937. Let's go down to St. Augustine. Jeff in St. Augustine. Good morning, Jeff. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on sort of the oversized role that, you know, sports seems to play in colleges. I went to a Big Ten school, and, you know, when my kids, when my son was born, I went into the Florida prepaid college program, and it's shocking. The athletic fees are more than the tuition. And I also think it's really pathetic that, people are defending this guy's need to, or maybe not defending, but saying, oh, look at how poor these players are treated. He had a shop with crab legs. You know, when I went to college, we had a lot of hamburger, a lot of ramen. I don't think it's very defensible to say he needs more money or needs more help because he had a shot of crab legs. And I just think you talked about the amount of money the programs bring in. I mean, it's a huge cost at Florida schools to students to fund the athletic programs.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jeff. Dean Capener.
I think it's fair and should be noted that there are people who track this kind of thing and can actually tell you by institution what the surcharge is for supporting the athletic programs in terms of tuition dollars. So in other words, in some institutions, it could be 10, close to 15% of the tuition dollars evidently are going to support athletic programs that aren't cash flow positive. So I think it's a valid point. I think in other cases, the athletic program more than compensates not only all the coaches' salaries and all that, but they provide revenue for the college. And of course, they're the marketing machine for recruitment of students. So I think it's valid to say that it depends based on the institution and the sports program.
Meanwhile, listeners are tweeting us the link to Time Magazine's new piece on the Department of Education's list of 55 campuses now, including Florida State, under investigation for alleged mishandling of sexual violence on campus. Dozens of campuses are now being investigated for this issue.
Well, it is not only a scary thing to think about as a parent, sending your first time freshman to a new school and thinking that if there were situations, people, whether it's called date rape or whatever you want to call it, that that wouldn't be investigated or prosecuted, or it would be somehow swept under the rug by
administrators. But that's what students are alleging happens time and time again. Female students mainly, but not always.
However, I believe that there are also some situations, and it doesn't discount the fact that all these allegations are out there and there are serious issues that administrators must deal with, that there are also situations where some of these are trumped up or blown up in social media and other things, and they're found not to be necessarily a legitimate legitimate issues. It doesn't discount it. I just question whether or not it is the number one issue crisis facing higher ed today. Which is what Time Magazine.
What would you say is the number one crisis facing higher ed?
That's a tough question, but I'd say one would be the preparation or lack of preparation of students and the I guess I'll call it the support of parents in preparing them for college level work, and really what that means is it's about outcomes. In other words, are we globally competitive as a nation in terms of our high school graduates? And so I'd say that's a bigger issue in my mind, but it no way discounts the fact that the administrators and colleges and universities need to address this issue and protect these students, particularly female students who in a lot of cases have not been prosecuted, or they've not been given the ability to be safe and feel safe.
Bridget in San Marco is on the line. Hi, Bridget. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. Could you speak to Title IX and what the impact will be there?
You mean how Title IX impacts this issue, if at all?
Yeah. Is it impacted by this issue, the potential funding of the players?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, thanks for that question.
Well, I would defer to Brad Edwards, our athletic director.
But she's
on this
wondering
one,
if a campus is found to really have a serious issue with this, could their funding be revoked?
Funding and its connection to Title IX, in my understanding, has been somewhat a little more cloudy than what we call the proportion of students, a female and male, playing sports, and also the sense that, you know, there has to be equal and fair opportunity for male and female students, and that's part of Title IX. I don't think it's been enforced in every case that an equal amount of money, scholarship money and other, has been invested along gender lines between male and female. That's probably an issue for a lot of groups that would support, you know, more of a complete, let's call it, implementation of Title IX along funding lines.
Let's take one more call. It's Vince on the South Side with us. Hey, Vince. Go ahead, Vince. You're on the air.
Hi, Melissa. Richard kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. There's a sports business attorney out in Fernandina Beach. Her name is Christy Bosch. She wrote an excellent book called Saturday Millionaires. And in this book, she addressed this whole topic we're talking about. And one of the things that she said was that, you know, Title IX does affect this issue because you just can't pay football players. You just can't pay male basketball players. If you pay one type of player, then you have to get the thing
then
where you're paying. Right.
What's the name of the book, Vince?
Saturday Millionaires.
Saturday Millionaires. Okay, thanks for the call, Vince. That can of worms, depending on how this NLRB decision goes, you'll be back here in studio talking about that, won't you? If they win, that's a separate issue somewhat. But if those players at NU, that's my alma mater, by the way, so I'm following that pretty closely, if they win the right to unionize, that could change not just college football, but then other athletes can come forward and say, what about us?
Sure, and it completely rocks the world in terms of the finances and how athletic programs right now are managed and funded. So, I mean, where is that money going to come from to compensate players if, in fact, schools and universities are forced to do that? And, you know, does that come from the current coffers let's say, coaches and administrator salaries, or does that, you know, somehow there a way to their new revenue streams that colleges and universities can create to pay these players? I don't know where those revenue streams would come from. And the big question is, in my mind, you know, how and on what basis do you compensate students, student athletes?
We'll continue to follow it. In the meantime, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Melissa.